and Japanese, among others, but none was more dramatic nor more savage than this one. In the space of 14 hours, in February 1945, lumbering, propeller-driven bombers carrying loads of conventional bombs visited upon the German city of Dresden, the greatest single man-made calamity in Europe's history. The air war over Europe proved to the world that havoc from the skies could be even more earth-shaking than Billy Mitchell or any other man could have dreamed. Chapter 1. Mission Number 52. Groaning and grumbling, 280 American airmen dragged themselves out of bed in the early morning darkness at a United States Army Air Force heavy bomber base in England. They washed, dressed, ate their usual bland army breakfast, and then assembled in a big Quonset hut to be briefed on their target for the day. The date was April 17th, 1943. World War II was in its fourth year. The commander of the base's bomber group mounted a platform at the end of the hut and quickly ended the suspense. The target of Mission Number 52, that is, the 52nd mission to be flown by the U.S. 8th Air Force, was the big Focke Wulf aircraft factory at Bremen in northwestern Germany. Here was a real chance to hit Nazi Germany where it would hurt, the group commander said. The Bremen factory was the leading producer of the Luftwaffe's Focke Wulf 190, the best fighter plane in the German Air Force. As usual, the bombers would attack by daylight. As usual, in attacking a target so far from England, they would be flying beyond the range of friendly escort fighters. They would be entirely on their own over Germany. The commander stepped aside, and his place was taken by the group intelligence officer, who filled in details on the mission and its target. This was to be a maximum effort, he said. Four bomber groups, well over 100 planes in all, the 8th Air Force's biggest raid so far. The Focke Wulf factory was a juicy target, and the airmen could expect the Luftwaffe to be up in force. Intelligence estimated that at least 100 German fighters were based near the route the bombers would follow to Bremen. The weatherman came next, predicting cloud and wind conditions to be expected over England and the continent. Then came the flak officer, warning at what points on the route the heaviest German anti-aircraft free would be found. This officer added his usual remark about flak being only a nuisance. The flyers laughed hollowly. They hated and feared the ugly black shellbursts that knocked down bombers or crippled them so that they became easy prey for enemy fighters. After detailed briefings on bombing tactics, navigation, and radio signals, the crews dressed in their flight gear and climbed into trucks to ride out to their planes. The Boeing B-17 Flying Fortresses squatted on paved hardstands around the edge of the airfield, widely separated in case of enemy air attack. Ground crewmen had been at work most of the night loading bombs and ammunition and repairing battle damage from the previous day's raid on well-defended enemy submarine bases along the coast of German-occupied France. The sergeant gunners checked over their 50-caliber machine guns and lifted them into the fortresses. As the gunners went to work mounting their weapons, the crew officers ran through a detailed pre-flight check to make sure everything in these complex airplanes was working right. Bombardiers carefully lifted bomb sites into the noses of the B-17s. The Norden bomb site was a vital part of the mission. In the hands of a skilled man, this precision computer was supposed to be able to drop a bomb into a pickle barrel from 4 miles up. That, at any rate, was the theory. Under combat conditions with German fighters whipping past, exploding flak shells rocking the plane and the bomber's guns chattering around him, the bombardier had a hard time living up to the pickle barrel boast.